AD, welcome to the real life of Nisha D.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for being on. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's been a long day for me, but I'm just trying to wrap it up and enjoy a little music and go to bed.
I call you Silky Soul Singer, and I know you're not a singer, you're a jazz musician, but every time I see playing, you remind me of that Frankie Beverly song. Tonight, audience, I have a very special guest. He's a jazz musician, Grambling University graduate. Also, he was a drum major at Grambling. Please tell my audience about yourself.
Well, you did such a lovely job. I appreciate you giving me the kudos. I was drum major at Grambling from 96 to 2000. And I'm born and raised in Dallas. Went to South Oak Cliff High School. And just that's where I got my start in music. And when got to Grambling, got the chance to get some experiences and do some different things like the Super Bowl, and got a chance to meet Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton at the time, and be in some major commercials for Fox Sports and Cartoon Network and et cetera. So, I mean, just kind of got a chance to get some invaluable experience that, kind of started my pathway to where I am now. So, yeah.
I'm just like I'm over the moon excited because jazz is like one of my favorite listening mechanisms to listen to when I'm just whenever I'm writing, I play jazz. I'm hint hint, I'm still waiting on my music. So tell me, what made you pick up a saxophone?
I really don't know. I don't have a one set thing. My dad made the whole family learn music, and me being the baby of the family, I was the only one that couldn't quit. Like, everybody else had a chance to like go do other stuff like sports and et cetera. But I played sports, but I didn't get to do everything that my brother and sister did. So I was kind of forced to do music, and I liked it, but I learned it because I had to learn it just so I could go do other stuff. And when I got to ninth grade, I decided that I wanted to play saxophone, and my daddy didn't even want to support me because he felt like I had wasted his time, when he made me learn piano. But of course, all that experience that I had came back to help me when I started playing saxophone in the band. Those people who've been in band and know, like, it's all the different instruments, they have different transpositions or different notes, so to say. Like, if you play a B flat concert, the trumpets and the clarinets ain't playing B flat. They playing another note. So you have to kind of know your transposition. So I didn't know that when I got to high school, and I had to learn all of that, and I was kind of like embarrassed that I didn't know a lot. But eventually, at a jazz band performance, the band director stuck the microphone down my belt and told me to play, and I couldn't really do nothing. I was embarrassed. My mama recorded it. That's what made me start taking it serious, and I started practicing really hard. And came back the next year, I was better. By the time I graduated, I was really, really good, but I didn't know how good I was. When I got to college, I started realizing, like, I was kind of on a different level. And I just kind of needed to take it seriously.
I played in a band. I started playing clarinet around 8 years old, and I've been in love with it ever since. I was under the leadership of the great late Daphne Chappelle, and we did some things. We I have a few trophies. I played in a jazz band. You know, I that's why I love real music. I can tell real music just by listening to it. You know, when you're listening to music, you can tell what's really real and what isn't. So I get it. And when I hear you, I'm like, I'm just all goo goo gaga because I'm just so amazed at your talent. I mean, do you think that jazz will have a major comeback?
Well, I don't think that jazz ever went anywhere in my eyes. And it's just like blues. It's just like anything, really. To me, you know, they all the same. It's music is a universal language, but really, it's all the same when you really look at it. Even from a piano standpoint, when you play a chord, mm-hmm. like just say you're playing a C chord, well, that same C chord that you played in a blues song or you played in a rap song is the same C chord that's played in church. Like, it's not, the notes in music don't change, you know, like with you being a clarinet player, your experience. Like, the notes, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F,
G.
It don't change. Like, it's going to forever be, you know what I'm saying? But what people do is categorize styles and say, it's jazz, it's hip-hop, it's rap, and that's okay, but that's why I play all the styles, because to me, music is just music. When I hear a rap song, they got bluesy feel to it, why it's not blues? Or when you hear an old-school blues song, where they kind of rapping a little bit, you know what I'm saying, like Johnny Guitar Watson or somebody on mm-hmm. telephone, you know, stuff like that, that's rapping. Well, I mean, but people categorize it as blues because he played the guitar, he played a lot of blues songs. So I just like to not put myself in a box. And when I perform, I try to do different genres and different, you know, types of songs to appease the crowd, appease the listener. And, like, you know, I appreciate hearing you say that, you know, you appreciate the music, because that's what it's about for me, just trying to evoke the emotion. And that I'm able to do it and blessed with a gift and still learning, but that people want to hear it and they appreciate it. You know, I appreciate my people, so I just try to do what I can.
I feel every chord, every key. I feel it when you're playing it. I feel everything. I'm amazed by your music. I mean, you just took my breath away. One day how we met was through Facebook. And I'm a big David Ruffin fan. Anyone who knows me know I love David Ruffin. And a lot of people don't really know David Ruffin as the solo artist. They only know him as David Ruffin, Temptations. And you was like, oh, you a big David Ruffin fan, I see. I'm like, yes, he's one of them. He's my all-time favorite R&B singers. He's a true king of R&B. Like, from everyone imitated him, from Teddy Pendergrass to especially Teddy. Teddy really mimicked his voice.
Right.
You have Jaheim that mimic his voice. You know, if you're a real music listener, you'll know these things. And I was like, okay, this guy, he knows his stuff. So I click over to your page. I'm like, oh, he's a saxophonist. And I'm just listening to you play. What was that by? What was that guy named? Bruno Mars. And I was like, oh my goodness, look at him. And I was so excited because it's been a long time since I actually seen someone play a horn. Mm. And I'm always appreciate the art. Because people don't know, it's a lot of work playing. It takes a lot of time. You gotta concentrate, and you gotta know your stuff, and you know it. I want to ask you something. Who is your all-time favorite jazz musician?
Wow. It's just, excuse me. It's hard for me to just pick one. I guess, you keep hearing me say blues. Mm-hmm. Because I don't really, when it comes to jazz, I know jazz and blues have a lot of similarities, and then there's some things that make it, make them contrast. But I love B.B. King. I love James Brown. I know you asked me who's my always favorite, but like when it comes to stage performance, well, I love B.B. King's deliverance on how he plays his instrument. And it don't matter what song, all the songs kind of sound the same. What he does. And then I love Johnny Guitar Watson. I love Curtis Mayfield.
We talked about Curtis.
Yeah. I like those musicians that get a lot of musical stuff going on in their music besides the words. I mean, the words, of course, mean a lot, and they put the they make the song go. But when these musicians play the way they do, then it just makes me, I get an appreciation. So I listen to it to be a sax player. I listen to a lot of guitar players, but I do like the standard Charlie Parker and your regular Grover Washingtons. I people say, well, you like, of course people automatically like Kenny G, but I never was a big Kenny G. I'm not gonna say I wasn't a fan. I didn't try to pattern myself out. Yeah. Kind of like what you said about Teddy P trying to sing like David Ruffin. I try to be like David Sanborn because I like his style and I like the rough edge he play with. And I don't really try to be pretty, so to say. I like to play with a little bit of flavor and soul in it.
You're very smooth, like you're very like the silky soul singer. Like I see you, you remind me of when you're performing, you remind me of that old Frankie Beverly and May song, Silky Soul Singer. You remind me of them. Got you.
Well, I'm gonna have to learn that song just for the sake of, Because you like it. I'm going to have to learn that.
Look at you. Okay.
I'm going to have to learn that. Yeah.
For me, I love Coltrane and Frank Sinatra.
Oh, yeah. I love Frank Sinatra.
I love me some Frank Sinatra. And everyone's like, Frank Sinatra? Frank Sinatra was a bad man. Like, he was really dope. Like, I love Coltrane. I love Miles. I love Frank Sinatra. And, my favorite R&B singer of all time, the late, great David Ruffin.
David Ruffin is the man.
He sung from the soul, and, I'm a person of soul. I love soul. I love when I talk to someone, I can hear their soul. I can hear their spirit. And it's like with you, I hear your soul. I hear your spirit. I mean, you're dope. You're a great guy.
Well, I appreciate that. That means so much. That means so much to me. And, I know we're getting to know each other, and I appreciate being able to be a part of your show. And, hopefully that we'll be able to collaborate, and I'm going to get the music to you. I promise. I've just been super busy. I work in education. I'm a band director. And so trying to do my camps and my summertime stuff, and it keeps me pretty busy. And then my music business is kind of blowing up. So, but I'm trying to do what I can to make sure I get this music to you, So
I look forward to listening to your music besides on Facebook. When I'm at work, when I'm working, I would love to have your music in my ears.
Yeah, I definitely want you to do that. I want you to be able to ride to it. I want you to, and you know, a lot of people that got it, they like it, you know. And it's mostly a CD I did last year. But I'm getting ready to work on some new stuff in a couple of weeks. So, I mean, I'm definitely going to make sure I get you the music and, you know, hopefully, you know, as you're doing your show down the line, I can maybe do a commercial for you or something, you know.
I would love we'll do some collaborations on that. I mean, I have some big things coming, you know. I had a music producer, writer on Mr. Eric Levers. He's a very intellectual guy. And then I had Thomas on, and he's an independent record owner. So, and now I'm having you on, and like I said, I'm in right now, I'm all about the music.
That's what I'm saying.
Music is it's the art of life, and like you said before, music is universal.
That's the universal language. It's the one language that transcends the world that everybody understands. They might not understand the language that people are speaking wherever they are, but they understand music and quarter notes and half notes and notes and scales don't change across the world. You know what I'm saying? And that's why music is, that's why over in Europe, they want to hear what we doing and vice versa. And that's why people can go over there and make the top 10 charts and never make it big over here. It's all about what the people want, you know? So
Europe, I just kind of got soul. They have a lot of soul, and they love Black music and Black musicians. They actually take care of their of our Black musicians, our Black singers and songwriters and stuff. They go over there, they blow up, they make money. Over here, the Americas, they don't appreciate the importance of the soul of an artist as versus to the people in Europe does. You touched on the basis that you played in the Super Bowl. Tell us, what was that like? You being a young Black man in a HBCU playing for the Super Bowl.
Well, it was a phenomenal experience, of course. It was my third year in Grambling. And so, you know, like I said, I went as a freshman. It was kind of like the movie Drumline. I say the Drumline stole my story, really. I went down there and did my thing, you know, my freshman year. And they asked me to try out, like, because you couldn't be drum major until your junior year. But the timing of it was they really didn't have the next drum major, the next leader. When I came as a music major, you know, I impressed enough that they gave me the opportunity. And then, of course, I just take the attitude that you just give me the opportunity. Just get me in the room, and I'm gonna do the rest. That's how I feel. That's how I feel in every performance. So, you know, that whole year, we had a good year. It's one of our best years while I was there. And, you know, we got invited to go to the Super Bowl earlier in the season. And when we got out there, you know, we got a chance. It was a Motown show, ironically, as we talking about David Ruffin. It was a Motown theme show. So they had like Smokey Robinson and Boyz II Men and Queen Latifah. And they had Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, who ran the performance. So being out there with those stars and being on stage with them and watching how rehearsal was going, everything recorded, and you know, they was like, Grambling, y'all on y'all stuff, like y'all take a break. Like, we were so on it. And so it was a great opportunity. You know, anybody who want to go back and look at it can just Google Super Bowl 32 or Super Bowl halftime 1998. You see, I'm the one that start the show off when it come down, when we come on at the end of the, you know, the theme. So it was a great opportunity. As a young Black man, and as a young, you know, young man in general, but just being able to get that experience to go to the Super Bowl. We didn't get to watch the game, but we at least got to go on the field and be in front of over 100,000 some people. And, you know, that experience, again, helped me in my career being able to work with, you know, just directors and producers and behind the scenes. Even when my band, my current band, Lancaster, when we did the Errol Spence fight and we came out for the champ at Cowboy Stadium back in 2019, you know, everybody was just so amazed. They thought it was a college band. But that experience that I got at the Super Bowl helped me be able to work with, you know, Fox and pay-per-view. And they were, like, nervous and worried that the kids weren't going to be able to do it. But, like, I told them, like, you know, hey, when the lights come on, the kids going to do what they do. And, you know, we're going to put on the show. And that experience at Grambling is kind of what I got used to. And again, it's just – it's not, it's some of me, but a lot of just around different people that you learn from and people you collaborate with, people put you in the right spot, the right place at the right time.
So it all falls back to your father staying on you about music. You see, that's a beautiful story within itself. Because
that's true.
most kids, especially young African American men, feel that basketball and football is their only way out. They don't ever understand the importance of band. And I knew the importance of band as a young girl because I followed in the footsteps of my cousin because she played and she was really good. Her name was Chandra Davis. And she, you know, she played cello. From cello, she started playing clarinet, and then she was on the leadership of Daphne Chappelle. And when I used to see, and I graduated from Phyllis Wheatley, so when I used to see those, then, you know, TSU would come over and, you know, show us some stuff. You know, I got to throw the Ocean of Soul in, you know. No shade.
I feel you. Throw the ocean in. I ain't got nothing but love for them.
But when I see them and they would just be, I was like, wow, I want to do that. I could play, but I don't have any rhythm. But that's why I always say it's always the soul for me. You don't necessarily have to have rhythm, but you got to have soul. Yeah. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I feel like, oh my God, can you play us a little bit or something, like a little bit, just a little snippet of something? If you're not tired, I know you.
Yeah. No, we good. I can play some. You were calling some of them old school songs and names, so I'm gonna do a little Al Green and just kind of warm up to that a little bit, because you keep talking about my soul and my, you know, how I am, but I want to return the favor and say, you know, that you are very inspirational and very motivational to a lot of people, and that's why we connected, because, you know, I just appreciate seeing some of the things that you say and, you know, again, your appreciation for music and the arts. So, yeah. I'm going to dedicate this song to you and maybe some of those guys that you're talking about, those record guys, et cetera. They maybe they'll get me in the studio and try to do a little something.
Yeah, I'm. You know what? I've always been a person to hook people up. So we can do some things.
Okay. All right, then. I'm going to do a little bit of this. Let me know if it's too loud. I don't know if it's...
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just doing a little, just messing around a little bit.
You had me totally mesmerized at the first. I got tears in my eyes. I'm a little sentimental because I love music, and you play from the soul, and oh my God, that's
Yeah, you know, that's simply beautiful. That's one of my favorites.
I know.
You know, people don't understand music. They don't know about that. That's
one of my favorite Al Green's songs too. He says, I love it, okay? Something yeah, that's about the way you hold me.
Yes, simply beautiful. Simply beautiful. Just the word, simply beautiful. Just simply beautiful. Not too much.
Just simply beautiful. Thank you. Was that a little dedication to me?
Yeah, that was dedicated to you. That was dedicated to you. And that's from the heart. And that's from me, Saxy Slim, AD Boner Music. To you, I'm glad that you like, you know, the vibe. And I'm going to get this music to you. And I can't wait till we connect, you know. I can't wait till we, whatever we put together, like, I know it's going to be magic.
Yeah, it's gonna be dope. Yeah. I have some stuff I'm working on, and I look forward to working with you in the future. Thank you so much, AD Boner, aka my Silky Soul Singer. I mean, you know, he's not mine, but you know the song Silky Soul Singer. Because I don't want anybody to be like, that's my man. I don't want no emails.
Nah, you good. No, indeed. Hey, it's. I appreciate being on the show and getting the opportunity. You know, so I don't. You know, I just hope that I get another opportunity down the line.
Of course. Can I ask you one more question? I mean, you know, before we go.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I'm a huge Dave Ruffin fan. Do you have any of do you have anything of Common Man?
I mean, let me see if I can. Y'all got Common Man. You want to hear that?
Yes.
It's not letting me pull it up. What I do have is because I don't know why my Apple Music is tripping. I got A Little More Trust. I'm So Glad I Fell For You. I got Just Let Me Hold You For A Night. My Whole World Ended, No Matter Where You Are. Statue of a Fool is one of my favorites.
Statue of a Fool, because it's a lot of men that's a fool and a lot of women.
People need to understand it's a real song. I'm gonna play it for you.
I'm gonna let you play.
I'm gonna let David sing, but I'll just play over it a little bit. I've never played it, but I'm gonna mess around with it a little bit.
Okay.
Somewhere that should be a hard world to stay. That you are a fool to stay. If you are a man who has lost his great hand, you can send him all. Thank you.
I just feel like I need a glass of wine, right? I'm just like, I can just literally listen to you play. Like, I can, like, see you playing. Like, I love it. Like, I love it.
Like, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I truly enjoyed it. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. You have been a uplifting mechanism in this brief period of time in my life with your music, and I thank you so much, AD. I look forward to having you back on the show. I pray that God blessings rain down on you, the world gets to know your name all over the world, in Europe and in the United States, especially in New York, because New York is a good place for jazz musicians.
Yes, indeed.
I just pray that these doors open up for you. Thank you for touching my soul tonight and also bringing tears because I'm a little emotional. thank you so much. I mean, I'm like really emotional right now. I thank you so much for speaking to my soul tonight, speaking to my spirit. You have a amazing, blessed night. I know it's summer camp tomorrow.
Right.
We got to get these youth in shape and with music.
Yeah. Right, so, right.
Well, before we go, could you tell us about your summer camp? Because you know, I have a listening audience in Dallas as well.
Just a camp for, you know, my kids that I work with, but it's open to any kids, grade 6 through 12. We're just working on basic music and reading. And we're going over a few songs, letting them jam a little bit. So nothing too major. I mean, you know, again, I've been training drum majors and working with bands almost 21 years now as a director. So, you know, I'm a veteran in the game. And so anybody who's open to wanting their kid to work and learn from me, I'm definitely open to that. Saxophone lessons, piano lessons, or if they want to come, you know, the band practice, that's fine. So, at Lancaster High School, again, my company is AD Bo Productions, AD Bonner Music. Saxy Slim is my stage name. And just trying to do my thing out there. So, I'm willing to help and work with anybody who wants to learn.
Thank you. And I look forward to seeing you in Houston. So,
yes, indeed. Okay, well, you have an awesome night. I appreciate you for having me. I look forward to coming on real soon.
Thank you. Be blessed, my brother.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.